I got a update on the chickadees that I was.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Hang on. So you gave your partner the chickadees for Christmas, which was a big call.
Box of chickadees, which is like a Cheezel or a Cheeto, but they're a very chickeny thing from the 70s. And she loved them. She said, "Oh my God, I knew you were going to give me some of these." Yeah, she loved them. I think I've seen this with Kate Langbrook. Anyone who's been brought up in a slightly religious household where they didn't have much money, like my wife and Kate Langbrook was a Jehovah, my wife's dad was a minister, and they didn't have much money, they have a low threshold of excitement. They've talked about it themselves together about
but
this.
What happens if you buy them something expensive? Is there a level of guilt, or is it, or is that
yeah,
even better?
I reckon. Yes. Yeah. I don't know. That's a really good question. But definitely, it was always the same with Kate when you'd produce a packet of Twisties in the Reyes. She's like, "Oh my God, a packet of Twisties! I can't believe it." And it is, there is a low. They both have this theory that they have a low threshold of excitement because they didn't get that much when they were kids. So she still remembers the day her dad got a new job and brought home mixed lollies as my partner, because that never happened, ever happened.
Wow. Brought home. My dad used to bring home 3 potato cakes.
Yeah.
That was good.
Yeah,
You know why he brought home 3 potato cakes for dinner? Because he wanted potato cakes. He just felt like potato cakes. No, hang on. He didn't bring home 3. He would have brought home more than that because we would have.
I reckon he ate a few in the car. Yeah.
And he used to bring potato home cake party pies from the Masonic Lodge.
Party pies from the lodge.
In his pocket, in a tissue, in a napkin, and I used to eat it in bed at about 11 o'clock at night. Anyway,
that's all right. That's a great memory. That's like my brother Mark worked at KFC in the '80s. And on Friday night, he'd bring home a bucket of cold chicken and throw it at us in our beds, me and my twin brother, when we were about 15.
Right. Yeah, that's
right. Yeah, I've done it in stand-up, and he would throw the chicken at us, like, quite aggressively, and then it would wake Dad up.
Would you, like, grab it like a little
kid
from Oliver and go,
yeah,
eat it under the covers?
Man, cold or semi-warm KFC in the 80s, when you hadn't had much KFC, was so good.
I don't know. I can imagine your mum changing the bed. I don't know what those boys are doing in bed, but I'm finding bones at the bottom. Finding bones in the doona.
What are they doing in there? But how funny. Now, my partner's never listened to this podcast ever, right?
Which is kind of lucky in a way.
Yeah, it's good in a way. Her brother listens. Hello, Andrew. And I don't think he says much to her. He said, "Oh, yeah, they're funny." I think. Anyway, but one of my main Christmas presents was a fold-out chair with a drink holder in it. Remember we talked about that on the podcast?
Yeah, they're like a camp chair.
Yeah. You said I should get one to go to the concerts at Hanging Rock and when Bob Skaggs plays. So it's like she'd heard the podcast. She hasn't heard the podcast ever.
Oh,
so,
that's weird.
And then she goes, "I've got a matching one for me," because we talked about that, how we're going to have matching chairs. And we'll be at the Bob Skaggs concert. He's playing Lido. Sit down, Lido.
So where will you use that chair? Because what they do is that, if I remember rightly, they sort of like they pop into
they
a
fold
tube.
In and out.
Fold in and out. They're a one-move chair.
Yes.
And you just got to watch you don't catch anything. You catch your fingers when you go pop. Because some of them, it's quite embarrassing when you're at the picnic ground or whatever, and you go to under it. You go, ow, ow. And caught your finger or whatever, and everyone looks and you go, "Oh, you don't know how to do the chairs, mate, you dickhead."
I don't know. She said it'd be good for camping, but we never go camping, so I don't know. Maybe it will be just the concerts, the Eagles reunion concert.
So it is a bit weird to have one chair, because if you go anywhere, there's going to be the one chair and everyone else.
We've got two. She's got a matching one.
Oh, she has got a matching one. Oh,
yeah, there's a matching one. We're going to be like the classic boomer couple at the Dire Straits concert, get the chairs out.
Oh, God. You're on the way out, man. You're on the way. This is the beginning of the end, I reckon, for you.
Hey, if anyone sees me at the Simple Minds concert at a winery, don't stand in front of me when I'm sitting in my chair, by the way. All right? I want to see the band, all right?
Look, anyway, so I just had a little something happened that I thought was interesting that I think we, I don't want to say we're cornering the market, but I sat down to watch television, and got to say, not a lot of television on at the moment. Sat down and watched, and here's a secret: if you watch, you get to 7:30, Channel 22, ABC 2, Comedy Channel. Spicks and Specs. I've been catching up, and I have seen you come on in several. Yeah. Who were you? Axl Rose.
It was Axl Rose. Yes.
But that
was fun playing Axl Rose. That was in one of the reunion shows where I walk out with a bottle and whiskey, and I do Axl Rose, and I talk about having a slash and.
Yeah, it was very funny. And then,
what was the next person I had to play? Michael Hutchins.
Yes. Yes, and it was.
I had to say to the producer beforehand, I feel a bit weird about playing.
I must admit, it crossed my mind.
You agree? Yes.
It did cross my mind because it wasn't like you were making fun of him, but it's a tragic loss.
You are making fun of him.
Well, how are you making fun of him? You were doing your best to recreate how he'd look. You couldn't have done any more. It wasn't like you were mocking him or you were impersonating him.
I love Michael Hutchins. I loved INXS as a youth. And I was really sad when he died. And I said I said to the producer, but, you know, he's dead. Can't we do someone else who's still alive? He's like, no one will mention he's dead. Don't worry about that. It's all about the costume. So I go out there and they're trying to guess who it is. And Anne Emmons just goes, are you dead? I'm like, yes, I'm dead.
Anyway, I was watching that. And that finished. Okay? And then I flipped the channel and 20 to 1 was on.
Oh, no. I'm on that too.
So who should pop on? None other than Dave in his red check, your favourite red check shirt.
Yeah.
Is it your lucky shirt?
That's been filmed a long time ago, that show. That was filmed ages ago.
So you've got a new lucky shirt, have you?
No, I've got two of those shirts, but that's filmed a while ago, that show.
Oh, okay. So I've gone from Dave to Dave, and I left it on 20 to 1. And who should come on next? Yours truly on Captain Kim. It's like we have absolutely cornered the television market.
Yeah, in the holiday season.
In the holiday season.
We're like Bill Peach. Remember Bill Peach would come on the break? We're like the person who does the break.
I've got to be honest, it hasn't been too bad for me because it hasn't been. We haven't had much television production. I've had Russell Coit rerun. I've had Kathy Kim rerun. What else have I had? Well, that's all. But that was good. I mean, get a little bit of money. Not a lot, but a little bit. It's good.
Yeah, Well, Kathy Kim's big on Netflix too. My daughter loves it.
You must have finished it by now. Surely you've got three.
Almost. We're almost through. We're up to the Channel 7 one. Yeah, people don't know, but might not know. Kath and Kim went from the ABC to Channel 7, didn't it, at one point?
That's right. Yeah, that's right. So anyway, we've cornered television.
Yeah, the summer market. Yeah.
And we are now cornering the podcast market continuing on. We're not down the beach. We're not out and off doing anything. We're here slogging it out. So every Tuesday we can bring you the joy of somehow related.
There we go.
And I think the theme says it best.
Yes, here we go.
The joy of the theme.
Welcome to Somehow Related. Now please welcome your hosts Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
Well, welcome to the podcast and Happy New Year. It'll be a new year by the time
happy
this comes out.
Happy New Year. Yeah. I would have had my birthday last week.
Happy birthday.
And, it's a dead time of year in between Christmas and New Year. And everyone says, oh, do you get two presents? It's like, well, no. You know, I get socks for Christmas and then I get socks and underpants for my birthday.
Jocks and socks.
I did get jocks and socks.
No, what did you get for Christmas? I mean, I got a chair. What did you get?
I got a beach cricket set.
Oh.
I did. But because
what are you, 18 or 17 or 14?
I would imagine because of Harley, I'm a big, big cricket guy.
Oh. Oh,
and we'll get on the beach and he'll love playing. Now, mind you, he's 13 months. A little early for the beach.
A little early.
But he'll be enjoying that. And we go down the beach next week. So
it is a bit annoying though as a beach goer. I don't go to the beach much, but we go to Lawn every January, and which is on the beautiful west coast of Victoria, and it's a beautiful beach there. Beautiful beach.
Oh,
but it's a bit annoying when you get like a group of eight people just dominating the beach with their bloody game of cricket.
And if you're going from your towel to the water, do you step around the wicket or do you walk through the middle of the wicket?
Mate, I walk through it, but I know it's annoying, but Yeah, I've been hit by the ball before. I've taken a catch.
We were playing beach cricket one day down at Anglesey, and on a separate bit of beach, like an isolated bit of beach, and a hang glider landed right in the middle of it. He goes, I picked you out from 2 miles away, and I thought maybe I'll try and land here. Go, all very well, but we're halfway through a game. I'm on 49. I might make 50. Anyway.
They're dangerous, those things. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
A guy fell from the sky near Fairhaven.
Yeah, they do it a lot there because you get the southwest winds and it hits the coast and you get the updraft and you know.
They're beautiful to look at, but
I used
dangerous.
To do a bit of stand-up about it, that you stand underneath it and you mime having them on a string.
It's gold. It's gold.
It's a kite and kids walk past. You want to go. And then it flies off. You go, oh, you're buggered it up, mate. It's floating. Where's my kite gone? Oh, anyway.
Bring it back.
Two topics.
Yeah. Let's see what they are.
Yeah.
Bunnings Warehouse and the London Underground.
Wow.
Bunnings Warehouse. Dun, dun, dun. Tell you what, they did well in COVID. I got something delivered by Bunnings because we're in Melbourne in a severe lockdown and my oven door broke. And we've been through this on the podcast, but I had to get like special glue and stuff delivered because Robert, the oven technician, talked me over the phone what I had to get. And they dropped the stuff off. It was great, Bunnings. But they were the ones campaigning the government to open. They were one of the groups lobbying the government to open early and stuff because they wanted the coin.
Well, which is it was our only outing. We had the supermarket, we had walking around and you could go, I don't know where. You could go to Bunnings. I don't know about was it the first one or the second lockdown? I can't remember.
You could go to Bunnings in the first one, yeah.
Yeah, and it was an outing, and you would drive in. It was bizarre. You'd drive in, you'd line up. It was like getting, you know, food, like what are those, when you get food in the middle of the war or something, they'd come out with your items, and you'd see your item coming out. And go, oh, there's our lawn fertilizer. there's a new saw for the pruning. Oh yeah. There's the Karcher. It's a new Karcher.
I sent you that great meme, didn't I, with the cop going up to the guy on the beach and the guy's on the beach by himself and the cop goes, this is unsafe. Go to Bunnings.
that's true.
Because you couldn't go to the beach, but you could go to Bunnings.
You could go to Bunnings. Like,
yeah, it was ridiculous.
So Bunnings, I reckon, here's what I reckon. I reckon if you were to rate the friendliest staff in retail, I kind of think, the Bunnings staff are very, very helpful, don't you reckon?
They're great. And you know what? They should get paid more. One of my mates, who's a comedian, but he also works selling stuff to Bunnings, he said the staff are very unhappy a lot of the time because of the conditions and the money they get paid. I don't reckon anyone in retail gets paid enough to stand up all day like
that.
No, they should get
paid
more.
Industry, it's a waste of
time. Yeah. And you know what?
You're walking.
I was going to say, and during the pandemic, you're dealing with these anti-masking idiots who don't go to their local member, they don't go to the police station, they go to Bunnings and try and start trouble.
No.
You know what I mean? They go in there and they go, and they have a crack at a minimum age worker, like a minimum wage, worker.
Because
like,
there was that woman who went crazy, wasn't
there?
Yeah,
there was a few of them.
Yeah,
like, why are you having a crack at someone earning $12 an hour? Go and talk to Dan Andrews if you've got a problem. Don't talk to the bloody Bunnings workers. It's got nothing to do with them. They're just a worker.
Well, Dan
annoys
Andrews,
me, Glenn. Annoys me.
Well, yeah, fair enough. So he cited Bunnings in his new rulings about masks, saying if you go to Bunnings, you don't have to wear a mask walking from your car, but you do have to wear one inside, and then if you line up to have a sausage, you have to put your mask back on again. So it was kind of him saying... it's quite complicated. But meaning if you're with a group of people outside, wear a mask. But if you're outside, don't wear a mask. But if you're inside, wear a mask. So it was, you've got to admit, people will probably associate the sausage at Bunnings more than they do anything else, really, don't they?
Yeah, it's true. It's true. And Bunnings is interesting because that is a relatively new phenomenon. When we grew up, there was like the local hardware shops. And what was the other big hardware chain that still exists?
Mitre 10.
And Bunnings took over the sites of the old, what were they called? Walton's? What was the other hardware chain? Walton's or something was called? There was a big hardware chain they took over.
Masters?
No, Masters was a new, that was like five or 6 years ago.
Right.
And they tried to take on Bunnings and they failed.
Yeah.
And they were closed down.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was Walton's or...
I thought Walton's was closed.
Yeah, that was furniture. No, there was another big, I'll think of it. There was another big hardware chain that Bunnings Mita took over.
I did say Mitre 10.
Mitre 10 still exists. Home Hardware still exists.
Yeah.
And there was another big... they took over a lot of the sites anyway, Bunnings, and that's how they got started. But they're a WA company. Bunnings, I believe. They started in WA. Because, I mean, you do think like Officeworks, they were American, but they weren't. They're actually Australian, Bunnings.
Yeah, I wasn't sure where they came from, West Australia or... Because I'm thinking Bunnings was established like a long, long time ago in West Australia or...
I think it's WA. I think they're WA or South Australian. Yeah.
Do you ever do that thing when you go to Bunnings where you line up and you got your stuff and you look at people, you're wondering what they're doing. You're going, well, that guy's obviously painting his bathroom and that guy's going to build a new chicken coop. And then you look at the guy with the tattoos. I shouldn't say tattoos. The guy there, you know, he's got a chainsaw and he's got a shovel. You're going, I think you're gonna kill someone.
Yeah, some plastic sheeting. There's that great scene in The Wire where have you seen The Wire, the American cop show?
No.
Where the tough girl, I think it's a woman. She's like a gang member, full on gang member, and she goes into like the Bunnings and buys a nail gun and starts talking specifics to specifications to this poor salesman and going, so you got this nail gun, so this could really hurt someone, yeah? And the guy's like,
yeah.
And it's just like she's buying a gun, and then the guy starts to slightly freak out, like,
well, there's got to be, you would imagine there would have to be some sort of alert system where people are doing things that could be a bit sus, whether it be ropes and chains and...
Well, I did stand up about this, about how, this is a true story, Bunnings, a Bunnings staff member noticed a guy bought 300 nail gun cartridges, which have gunpowder in them, right? And that's very unusual to buy. This guy was buying an incredible amount, like 600.
Yeah.
And so she followed this guy, the Bunnings staff member followed this guy to his car, took down his license plate, ran up with cops. The cops went around to this guy's house, raided his house, and he was planning a terrorist attack. And so this Bunnings worker was like a hero. And I say in my stand-up, but I went to Bunnings yesterday. But, you know, I say terrorism kills hardly no one in Australia, but obesity kills a lot of people. And I went to Bunnings yesterday. I bought 3 sausages. No one followed me to my car. They don't give a stuff about me. Classic. I got to bring that joke back. Forgotten all about it.
Yeah, that's good.
But that's a true story. Yeah, so I think they trained, amongst all the things they have to do on their minimum wage, they're trained to keep an eye out for sus stuff. Or maybe that person just had good intuition.
Gee, that's a big responsibility. Isn't that?
Yeah. Oh, I told you, I went to the bank the other day and I had to draw some cash to pay. I don't want to say the guy's name, but we'll just call him Husey because we did some gigs together. And the woman said, what are you using this cash for?
You go, none of your business.
What, do I look like a drug dealer? I'm not a drug dealer.
Yeah, well, and you can say anything you like, seriously. But she hasn't got. Has she got a right to ask you what you're using it for?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I do look disheveled occasionally. Maybe she thought I was some kind of drug baron or, you know.
I mean, it's a long time since you've been dealing in drugs, so that's all in the past for you.
20
now.
Years.
Yeah, Jesus. You've cleaned up your act really well.
And why would I be drawing cash? If I was a drug dealer, I'd be getting cash in all the time, wouldn't I? That would be going to the bank.
Surely you'd be putting cash in. You wouldn't be getting cash out. You're a cash man. You're all cashed up.
It'd be all grubby bills. Like, I know cash has died during COVID.
Yeah,
I've got $50. I've stored it in a strange place since watching Papillon. cash is all. This is one of the conspiracy theories, is that COVID happened because the government wanted to get rid of cash. Because cash, the government can't really monitor. You know what I mean? With like fruiterers and tradies and stuff.
So, how do you get rid of cash? How does it help?
Because COVID, everything went online, everything went on card. You know, you go to cafes and it's no cash anymore, just cards. So that's why and then of course the money can get taxed, you see. So that's why people have this theory that COVID was introduced to get rid of cash, to have a cashless society. Yeah. Conspiracy. I don't believe that. I love conspiracies, but I don't believe any of them. I just read a book. I got a book for Christmas along with my chair. I got a book called The Death of the Expert, and it's all about how this expert, like a guy who's an expert in military stuff, he's a Yale professor, writes this book about how, especially in America, people just don't, they question experts all the time. So, you know, he said he wrote an article about it in the paper, and all doctors, he said, not only doctors, but plumbers rang him up and said, you won't believe the amount of people who follow the plumber around and question what he's doing on the job. And he goes, we try to explain to the customer, but they don't even understand, but they still don't believe them. Hmm. You know what I mean? Because there's this culture now, particularly in America, where you question an expert's experience and authority, you know, like you know, when you get a plumber over, you trust them, don't you? You go,
yeah, but you know, that undermines the whole sense of community.
And same with the doctor. I mean, you know that I know a lot of people Google stuff, but you've got a problem. You go to a good doctor, you trust them because they've been doing it for 30 years. They've got a degree and whatever.
Well, if you're cynical towards everything, you've got nowhere to fall back to. You're in trouble because you go, what do? I just keep on asking questions of everything, and then I'm in a permanent sense of turmoil because there's no ground zero for me. At least anyway, just rest assured, all the research on this show.
Yeah,
is 100% watertight.
We can't even remember what stores used to be in place of Bunnings, but we'll find out by the end of the show. But Bunnings, what about the ads? I did mention Hughesy, and we were talking. I don't know whether he does this in stand-up, but he goes, you'd think they could get a few better-looking employees in their ads. As he said, he goes, I'm no oil painting, but for God's sake. And my theory is there's so many out-of-work actors, and a lot of actors are good-looking. Get some of them on those ads.
Why?
Well, do we need to see, you know, Robert, the 60-year-old? Because it's all,
what we want is authenticity, and those people are authentic. They're the real deal. They're at the coal face. They're working for, what are they working for, $15, $20 an hour, $25 an hour?
Yeah, we think it's, I always say minimum wage. They might get a bit more. But also, they don't get paid for those ads, someone told me. There's another comic who worked at Bunnings for a while, and he said they don't get paid.
Surely they'd bang him some Dulux paint, give him some Dulux paint or a new front doormat.
A coupon.
You're getting two new brooms and a sausage. Yeah, be on your way.
A Bunnings warehouse. Well, those sausages are for charities. They're often schools or kinders. It's got Bunnings just provide the barbecue, and you've got to turn up with your sausages and stuff.
And the form of the ad has not changed in...
No.
That, and they would have to be the cheapest ads, given they may well not pay people. Allegedly.
No, I'm going hard on Bunnings. I really don't like them, so I'm going hard on them. I want a court case in the Herald Sun, Dave O'Neill versus Bunnings. And you can be the witness, and so you won't get...
Drag me into it. I don't know, do I have to turn up and get in the box?
Bunnings Warehouse.
How long have you known Mr. O'Neill? Oh, not that long. I met him. I used to buy drugs off him about 20 years ago. And, you know.
Anyway, but I mean, you know, Bunnings. Real tradies don't go to Bunnings. You know that.
They were the only ones who could go there during lockdown. They could walk around and select. But, you're going, oh gee, I wish I was a tradie. I wish I could walk around. But where do they go? You know, you're giving a big plug here for the opposition. You're saying they go to Mitre 10, aren't you?
Yeah, on the more specialist hardware shops. Tradies will say it. They don't go to Bunnings because also I think it's a bit more expensive and stuff. But Bunnings is definitely targeted at people like you and me that are doing handiwork around the house.
You know, the biggest mistake that people make is they overestimate their ability. They go, I reckon I could build that. And then they end up, I'm very smart. Mm. I know I can't do stuff. I painted the fence yesterday because, as you know, I like to paint the fence. And there was the incident where I painted the fence some time ago and I drew dick and balls because I knew I was going to paint over it. And then I tried to paint over it and the dick and balls wouldn't go back into the fence. And then I had dick and balls on the fence for quite some time right outside my office. So I painted I thought, no trouble this time, no pranks. But I had to do it next to a glass, the new glass pool fence. So I was very meticulous with. Didn't want to get any flicks on the new
masking
fence.
Tape or did you use that.
Yes,
tape?
A bit of masking tape and I had a tarp that one of my builders left over. So I looked very official, but I had to go and find some old clothes to put on because I didn't, you know, because I didn't have any painting clothes.
Did you have your poo shoes on?
Well, I wouldn't be putting my poo shoes on because they're the prime purchase of the year. Okay. So no, yeah. I just had an old pair of shoes on. Anyway, I think we should move
Bunnings
on to
Bunnings Warehouse.
We could maybe have a Bunnings ad, maybe, I don't know, for the music.
Don't give them.
Oh, of course not. You don't want to do that. Yeah. London Underground.
I'm going underground. Oh, I love the London Underground.
We talked about that a couple of weeks ago with the. Did we? It was the bombing shelter, wasn't it? Everyone congregated during when the Germans were bombing London. Was it 50 nights in a row or something?
Incredible.
So when were the underground? Was it 1800s? Would that have been built?
Yeah, it was originally steam. The first ones were steam trains, weren't they? Or horse drawn
Horse-drawn?
I might be imagining this, but I think there was a tunnel, and I've seen pictures of it because I watched the thing on SBS about that. I only watched the first episode about the building of the underground, but it was fascinating.
It'd be a hard sell, wouldn't it? Because I'd turn up to the council meeting, right? And I go, hey, g'day, Dave, got an idea. You know the trains? Yep. How they run, like, on top of the ground? Yeah. Why don't we whack them underground?
Yeah.
Oh, you're a fucking idiot. What are you saying?
It takes forever.
We've got to get the tunnel built, then we've got to get the tracks down there, and then all the shit would be dirty, and oh no, that's a stupid idea.
And back then there's plenty of room. Just put them above ground, mate. What are you worried about? Yeah.
But now, as it's turned out, and with the New York subway, the London Underground, Paris incredible.
Metro,
and I mean, I know Melbourne has a little bit of underground, but not a lot. It's not that impressive.
We've got like...
And Sydney doesn't. Sydney doesn't have that much. The other states don't have any, do they? I can't remember. Do they?
No. Brisbane's got a tunnel. Brisbane trains are great to the airport. Yeah. I don't think there's a tunnel, though. But there might be a tunnel. There's a bridge. There's something to the airport. but the London Underground's got 200 and something stations, has it? It's amazing.
Yeah. What are some of the
stations?
Well,
from Monopoly, Euston station, Waterloo,
Oxford, Waterloo, Paddington,
Paddington,
Piccadilly
Line,
Bond Street,
South Kensington. There's some great. I mean, when were we there last year? Oh, if this is in the new year, we were there the year, we were in 2008.
Yeah, all right. It doesn't matter when you went. Okay, you've been in London, big deal, whatever. Jesus.
But it is really impressive, the underground. I reckon it's an amazing engineering feat. Good on them.
Oh, no, it is very good. There's no doubt that when you pop down, you go down the stairs, you pop on the train, you pop up, and you pop out somewhere. Especially, we got lost on the New York subway, which is pretty cool because, you know. But, you know, we took it on. We were fine.
But the amount of crazy people, even on the Melbourne trains, but in the London Underground, the door will open and some guy will come in with a guitar or start begging. Same in New York. There's always someone.
Oh, some of the street stuff, the street music is fantastic down there. There's always the guys playing the drums down there, playing the old.
But you're right. It is a captive audience, isn't it, in the train? You can't go anywhere. So you see the door shut and then the guy goes, I am very poor. I just want some money. Yeah, and they
that's
do the
right.
speech.
And you can't walk off. Oh, no.
Yeah. I know. I feel bad for them, but they probably make good coin, some of those guys.
So you can ride the London Underground to Paris, can't you, now?
Yeah, the channel. Yeah. You go to, is it Paddington Station?
Is it called a channel or a tunnel? It's called a channel.
It's a channel. The channel, they call it. Well, because it's through the channel. The channel. It's under the channel. Channel. Oh. The channel. Maybe that's just a nickname for it, but yeah. Yeah, it's amazing that train. Incredible.
Because I've been on I've been on something equivalent, which is the ride at Universal Studios. You've been on that where the earthquake ride where the train falls in?
No,
it's great. I think it's in a subway and then there's an earthquake while you're in the subway and the train just goes up in the air, the earth opens up, and you know, the world is basically destroyed. And then, and the bus goes, and he goes, let's move on to the next tragedy. You know,
but I mean, I don't know what we can say about the London Underground, but I did notice it's it's no good for anyone with a disability. There's a lot of stairs in the.
Well, but they've got those really good escalators, though.
Oh, those escalators, the longest escalators in the world. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, Adam Hills tells the story. When he first got to London, and everyone moves over to the left, you know, or the right or whatever. And if you want to walk up, you've got to go up. And he started walking, going, I can walk up. And then after about 5 minutes, he's like, Jesus Christ, how long does this go for?
Escalator. Yeah.
But yeah, they're always used in TV shows, aren't they? Cop shows, the underground. They're always running underground, chasing a criminal.
Did you know, in
Berlin, they have, and in England, they have ghost stations where they used to be open and now they're closed.
And meaning, so you, because they're haunted?
No, no, sorry. No, the authorities at some stage closed them down for some reason, whatever. For no reason. Opened a new
but
one.
Didn't aren't some of the stations built over plague pits where a lot of people died during the plague? So there, and I think there are some of the stations are haunted. So I know I went to the London. I went to in Edinburgh. They have the underground city there, and you could go underneath there. And they're yeah, they're haunted. And
yes, yeah, I've never been there.
Fantastic. Did you know that Jerry Springer was born in the underground?
Wow.
The only reason I know that is because I was because it was during the war, which was the bombing. It was so people would go down there. During the bombing,
yes,
and then and obviously if they were pregnant or you know they'd have to have it down there, and he was born, Jerry.
So he's British, is he? Or was that in the New York Underground? That was he's British, obviously.
Oh, maybe he must be. So what's the classic thing they say? Because you got your announcements. What do we say here? In I know in Melbourne they say stand clear. Stand
yeah, but did hey, clear. Didn't you used to love the old days in the '70s, the '80s, where you'd go to Flinders Street and the guy would go, "Blah blah 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 blah."
I didn't get any of that. Here's the second tour of Melbourne.
Stand clear, please. Stand clear, Flinders Street.
Because so the stand clear is their catchphrase in the UK. It's mind the gap.
Mind the gap. Yeah, you get and T-shirts with "Mind the Gap" on it.
You know why it's they say "Mind the Gap"?
Well, I noticed some trains do have quite a big gap, and you could easily fall down.
Yeah, that's because some of the stations, most trains you associate with the platform being straight, but some of the underground stations are curved. So therefore, if it's curved, and okay, kids, who knows why? If the train is some of the carriages are straight and they're up against a curve, that means that there'd be bigger gaps on certain where depending what door you got in on that carriage. So if it's flush up against it, you're fine. But further down, it will be given there's an arc. See, I'll draw it on the blackboard for the kids.
I get it.
So that's why they emphasise mind the gap because the gap is quite big. So you know, and you see those things on the news where people drop babies down there, or they fall down there, or they drop their phone
prams,
down there, and
pushers.
Yeah, it's terrible.
I wonder who does the voice because you know, I wonder if it's like Emma Thompson or someone.
Oh, really?
Someone
is
famous.
It?
No, I'm just guessing. I'm just getting.
It wouldn't be a bad gig, though, would it? I mean, I wouldn't mind being the police stand. But you would be the. Because you're the voice of superannuation and you're the face of fat. That's the combination of. But you'd be very good at stand clear, please. Because you've got that everyman voice.
Stand clear, please. Yeah, they might want a bit more authority, though.
You think you're a bit relaxed, are you?
Yeah, I can be relaxed. I remember the this. We found out that this phone call has been disconnected. Please call again. You know when that happens on a phone?
Oh yes, yep.
That's Gretel Colleen from Big Brother does that voice. So when you hear it next time, yeah, it's Gretel. Yeah, she can. We talked to her on the radio. She confirmed it's her. Yeah.
Jesus, that must have been a bit hard up for a gig that day of the week, wasn't it? Anyway. Okay. Thinking
let's have some thinking music. Yeah, why don't we have let's not play Bunnings yet. Why don't we have Mind the Gap voiceover? It'll take us back to London.
I reckon there'd be someone who's done a tape of the London Underground. So what we can do, we can just pretend we're riding around London. We've been to Piccadilly and we've been to all the Monopoly board. We've been to Oxford and you know Waterloo. And you and I are having a day in London.
Yeah,
with our bags of we've got a Paddington Bear
and Harrods.
Okay. Let's go. Right. The magic of the London Underground.
Thank you.
There
wow.
you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Were you there?
I was right there. Mind
the
gap.
Where's the gap. Price of a
Well, I'll
right
have
there.
A crack. I'll have a yep. crack. Bunnings had a failed venture into England. They had this idea they're going to world dominate, and they opened stores in England, but they failed by memory. So maybe the London Underground, they sponsored the London Underground for a while. That's what I'm going to say.
Jeez, that must have been big. God, oh, Bunnings
got a lot of money.
I'm going to say that the first Bunnings store wasn't in Western Australia. I think it was in the UK, and they had it was a stall that they had in the Underground.
Wow.
And then they obviously right. went from that, and then they got bigger, then they came to Western Australia, because there were shops down there. I'd imagine that back in the 1800s, they would have had stalls where you could, on your way home, and you could pop in and buy some fork handles.
Yeah.
Remember that sketch by Two Ronnies, the fork handles? You remember that sketch?
No.
Yeah. Anyway, he comes in into a hardware shop and says, "Can I have four candles, please?" And he brings out four candles. No, he went fork handles.
Oh.
Very, very Two Ronnies. Very. And anyway, there was a succession of misinterpreted phrasing. Anyway, I don't know why I brought that up. Okay, so let's find out what the answer is.
Traditionally, the West Australian Export Associations had supplied London Transport with sleepers for the Underground. In 1964, Bunnings Limited won the contract to supply Jarrah sleepers to the London Underground for the new Victoria line. West Australian Jarrah has been essential to London Transport thanks to its hardness and resistance to decay, making it ideal for use in the Underground. Thanks to Rob from Baldivis in Western Australia for sending in this topic.
Wow, that's incredible.
There you go.
Sent him by a listener too. Thanks.
You have been listening to Somehow Related with Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
So if you're in the London Underground, you could, and you're sitting next to some local, you could go, if it wasn't for Bunnings, you wouldn't be having your London Underground all that flash. What's your problem, mate? What are you going on about?
What's Bunnings? What's Bunnings?
What are you talking about? Hey, love. Hey, fellas, this guy's giving me a bit of lip. I'm going to headbutt you.
I'm going to knife him.
Yeah. But there you go.
Yeah, that's amazing.
So, or the other way around is we could go into Bunnings now and say to them, I want some of that London Underground wood, please.
Without a mask on. Just cause some trouble. Yeah.
With a sausage in your hand.
Yeah. Read the Magna Carta and then say, hey, I want some of that London Underground wood that you're storing here. I know you've got it.
And then if it was you, Dave, you'd probably pick up a piece of wood and go and hit the manager because they're not paying the staff enough to do the ads.
I don't blame the manager, Glenn. I don't blame the managers.
Oh, do you? The owner. Of course, sorry.
I don't blame the owner.
Sorry. You'd go and knock on the door of the Bunnings headquarters. Yeah,
headquarters. I love the fact they employ. I've always said to my dad, who's 85, you should get a job at Bunnings because he knows all that handyman stuff, and they employ quite old people there, don't they? It's good to see at Bunnings.
And
so you go in and the old guy goes, have you got any questions? I go, yeah, what was the Civil War like?
Well, it can be a little bit humiliating to the male ego because I was looking for something the other day and I couldn't find it. I didn't even know what the name of it was. It was a pruning saw. Yeah. But I had to ask like an 18-year-old girl and, as in she would probably know much more about the world of, handyman than me,
I know. It's interesting because I had to get an antenna thing because we got rid of the Foxtel box and now the TV's just coming from the roof and there's an antenna and I had to get the antenna cord. And I normally pick a guy around my age because I go, this old bloke. Yeah. And he goes, nah, mate, you're going to have to ask Amber over there. She's the expert on electrical. Oh, no. Amber knew straight away. She was about 18.
Yeah. 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 Well, I got a young guy. He was a whippersnapper expert, and he was questioning me the thickness of my grass. He goes, "Are you just like a weekend whippersnapper?" I go, yeah, kind of. I felt a bit threatened. I go, oh, yeah, I don't know what grass is. Are you doing edging or are you just going to hard? Are you going to do – and I was being questioned. I go, oh, is there any other sort of whippersnipping? Because there's like there's the industrial whippersnipping. Then there's like your handyman weekend guy who likes to do a bit of little bit of neatening up. And that's what I went for. Battery. Oh, I got a Ryobi. And by the way, who does the voiceovers for Ryobi?
Who?
Leno and Woodley. What's his name?
Oh, Frank or Colin?
Frank.
Frank Woodley does it. Oh, wow.
Yeah,
there you go.
He does. There you go. There's a tidbit for you.
Oh, wow. I've just remembered Bunnings took over, not Walters. McEwan's was the old hardware.
Oh, that was it. I'm so glad you got it.
McEwan's. Wow.
Oh,
I feel satisfied.
Because people at home are just, we're just so frustrated yelling with that early McEwan's reference.
Yeah, McEwan's, early not reference. Walton's, you idiots. Not guest furniture, not the fussy furniture fella. It's McEwan's.
Oh, what was their cell line? What did they say?
Oh, I can't remember McEwan's.
McEwan's means a million things? Was it something like that?
Oh, maybe. Yes. I think you've done it.
Okay. On that note.
On that note, thank you very much.